and some people, there's a stomach flu going around here too. So
keep that in prayer for sure. Ooh, hey, come on.
So we'll go ahead and before we get started, let's have Brother Ralph. We'll open us up with a word of prayer.
Father, we thank you for those that are able to be here tonight. We pray for those who would like to be here and can't, dealing with various illnesses, and some may have other things going on. I pray that you would just touch each one, bring encouragement and strength to each one. Help us not to take for granted the privilege to be here. I know I missed it a lot on Sunday and last Wednesday night too. So I pray that you would help each of us to be in remembrance of what a privilege it is to be in your house, and pray that we would each receive a blessing tonight. Pray that you would take care of whatever needs each one of us have. Many of us have needs that we don't often mention. I pray that you would just take care of those things according to your will and your way. Help us to lean on you. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll sing a few songs a cappella tonight. The first song, we're going to turn to page 348. Sing Redeemed. If you're feeling well enough, you can stand. If you're still recovering, feel free to sit. I understand. You want to stand? We'll go. Sing 348. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed. His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of Him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I know I shall see in His beauty the King in whose law I delight. I am resolved. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have a Lord by side. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee. he say it, do what he will it, he is the living way. I will hasten to him, hasten to glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I will hasten to him, hasten to glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
Amen. And one last song, we'll turn over to page 482. Page 482. More about Jesus.
More about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More, more about Jesus, more, more about Jesus, more.
So I'm not sure how long this message will be. It could be very short, might be normal length, I'm not sure. How I came about this message is far different than any way that God has ever laid a message on my heart before. It was so different that it almost felt like I was fighting it because it didn't seem... Normally, God does things in a way when he's preparing a message through me, and I'm used to that, and this is just completely different. And it's actually a thought that I had years ago. So if one of those people can listen and pray for me that the Lord uses me and helps me say this clearly, because could sort of be confusing, or at least sometimes when I was reading over, I thought, I hope I don't make this confusing or more confusing than it needs to be. So before I get started, I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then we'll get into the message, and then we'll take some prayer requests. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for letting us to be in church here tonight, Lord. Thank you for getting us here safely. Lord, thank you for health. Lord, I know a lot of people in the church dealing with some health issues and dealing with sickness. And Lord, we just pray for those that couldn't be here that you would just work in their hearts tonight, Lord, that you'd heal their bodies if it's from sickness or if it's just for any other reason, Lord. I pray you just work in that. Lord, I'm just thankful to be back in church. Lord, I know I missed it, Lord, and it's amazing how much you find out how bad you need church just from being out of it for a week. Lord, I'll tell you, I'm thankful to be back, Lord, and I can't wait to be back in service where everybody's back and healthy and just have our church family back here together. Lord, I pray that you would please take this message. Lord, if I'm being honest, I'm nervous to preach it just because it came about in such a different way, but I also feel secure that this is what you wanted me to preach, Lord, so I just pray that you'd help me to get out of your way, Lord, and to speak through me, to be able to bring this to the people here in a clear, concise way so that they can understand. Help me to just get out of your way, to speak clearly, Lord, and that you would just use this time especially to challenge us, Lord, to challenge me, Lord. I pray that I'm preaching to myself, Lord. I need this message probably more than anybody in the room, Lord. Just want to thank you for church. We're going to praise you, Lord, especially for who you are. We're going to praise you for what you do here tonight. Lord, we ask that you'd keep us safe as we travel home. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so I'm going to read a passage of Scripture out of Matthew 26. And just so you know, so you don't think I go on a complete rabbit trail from the beginning, it's not necessarily going to sound like what I start talking about necessarily has to do with that right away. But bear with me. I promise I'm going to make a point. And I'll be conscious of time. I won't. If it goes too long, I will. I'll cut it short when I definitely have time for prayer requests. So Matthew 26, and I'm going to read starting in verse 36. It says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. So, like I said, we're going to come back to this passage of Scripture. I just want to run over a few things of the and get the background of this thought that I was having. So, just to show you how weird it's going to kind of sound, or from the get-go, the title of the message, or I put down if there was a title, would be The Challenge to Presently Live in or for the Future. When I first thought, I was thinking about how this came about was, you know, you deal with so many trials, you deal with so many things, sometimes they're so hard to deal with, sometimes you don't react well to it, sometimes you go back to the same reaction. There's certain times certain instances where it's like, why do I keep having that same reaction? Why am I not handling that right? Or even if it's something dealing with, you know, whatever it is, a sinful thought or a besetting sin or whatever it is that you keep going back to. And I kept thinking to myself, like, I am saved. Why do I keep struggling with these same things? Why do I have these same lousy reactions? Why do I have a bad attitude about something just because I'm going through something? And I started thinking about it, and then, you know, I started doing some study and said, this I say then, if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I started thinking, well, what on earth does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Like, how do I, like, I kept saying, like, God, if I keep messing up, like, how do I walk in the Spirit? How do I walk in the Spirit? You know, like, it seems so self-explanatory, but at the same time, how do I actually get in the Spirit? How do I know I'm in the Spirit? Like, obviously, I know, we read my Bible, you know, doing these things. And I was wondering, why is it that if I'm walking in the Spirit, I'm doing the things that I know God's leading to me to do, why sometimes do I still end up at the same failure, I guess I'll call it? Why do I keep ending up at this same road? Even though I'm doing everything I can to try to walk with God, there are still certain instances where it's like, I'm back here again. So I started doing some deep study about it. And I started realizing what I think was happening was kind of like, think about Peter walking on water. When he was looking at Jesus and he was looking forward, he was walking on water. When he noticed everything around him, what happened? Started sinking. Because the things that were going on around him became the focus rather than the Lord. And I started thinking, okay, then maybe I'm too busy thinking about what's going on right now, presently. I need to look forward. So, let me ask you this question. Why do we serve God? Why are we here after salvation? Ultimately, what is the point? You know, some would say, oh, to win others to Christ, you know, to love the brethren. These are right, but ultimately, it's to glorify God. You know, and that's why it's so important and so amazing to lead others to Christ, because I don't know if there's any other way to glorify God more than to lead people to him, to love the brethren, to love your neighbor, to do these things. So if it's to glorify God, you know, the Bible tells us to set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You know, God wants everything about us to be clinging to things above, to be clinging to heaven. That's what he wants us to do. It's our blessed hope. We know we're going to heaven. And I started thinking to myself, well, how can I cling to something that isn't here yet? And obviously, I know heaven is going to happen. But how do I cling to something that isn't here yet? You know, it's very easy to cling to things in the past. I think it's a lot of the reasons why sometimes I revisit it, because I don't let go of it. I let the devil keep bringing it up. Oh, I remember when he did this, and then eventually you revisit it. It's easy to cling to things in the past, or emotions, or circumstances, or even accomplishments, anything like that. We can even adhere ourselves to things that are going on right now. You get so involved. Right now, to be honest with you, a lot of reason why I think this message came up and why the Lord brought this to me to preach, and I don't think it's for anyone in here but me, because I think I've been guilty of this. There has been a wave of things going on, and it has been a struggle for me, big time. I mean, I have been just battling internally, praying and not understanding anything that's going on. None of it's making sense. And, you know, I'm thankful for my dad, because he's been texting me and just saying, hey, you know, God's going to get you through this. He knows the way through the wilderness. You know, Job went through a bunch of stuff. You know, God is still good, and he's been encouraging me. And I'm so thankful for that, because I have been in, and there's been moments, if I'm being honest here, there's moments where my thoughts on it, my reactions to it, have not been great. And I've had to get down and just be broken before God and be like, Lord, I'm so sorry that I'm having this terrible attitude. And I'm going to heaven. You know, these things are happening, but it's like, but I'm going to heaven. because I'm getting focused on these things that are going on around me. So then I kept thinking, okay, well, how do I cling to fear? How can I avoid revisiting these things? And I wondered if, is it hard for me to stay focused on pressing forward? You know, Paul tells us, press forward towards the mark. Do I struggle with that just because of the things that are getting in my way? Is it because I don't fully understand it? Or maybe, or is it a lack of faith somewhere? Is there lack of faith? And I think to yourself, you think, well, I have faith in the future. You know, I know I'm going to heaven. And I thought to myself, going to heaven's in the future, but keeping my faith in that, my argument to that is, well, salvation's already here. I know I'm saved. The Holy Spirit dwells in me, and there's no denying that. I know how the Holy Spirit leads. I know the conviction I come under. So even that, even knowing I'm going to heaven, my salvation is here currently. And I know this is getting crazy, but bear with me. I promise I'm heading somewhere. So that's already been done. So in essence, I have this surety in my salvation based on the present. It's been in the past too because of how God has brought me through since then. But then I started, this thought came into my head, and it was, our current failures are a result of our lack of future living. Now, I know when you say that out loud, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. But what I mean by that is, the reason I'm having issues now is because prior to now, I wasn't keeping my focus where it ought to be. You know, you let that moment come in where these things distract. And now I'm in a situation where I've had this lousy reaction, or I've had this terrible attitude. You know, and it's happened recently to me. There's been so much going on. It's just like making my head spin. And I've been finding out pretty surely since this past April that this husband thing is tough. It's not easy. I got a lot of respect for all the husbands that are in this church, every husband I've ever met. Being a husband is not easy. And it's not because my wife's making it hard. I mean, my wife is so stinking supportive, but it's like, now that I'm a husband and you realize the responsibility I have and who's that I have someone dependent on me and I'm supposed to be leading, I realize how unbelievably inept I am. It's crazy. And all these things are happening, and it's like, we still have water in our basement. The heat upstairs won't work. Now we just found out today the stoves can't lit because one of them's frozen. And I'm like, there's all this stuff going on. And I'm like, Lord, I'm trying in a nutshell, what's been going on? There's so much stuff that's vying for my time, and my work schedule's so busy that it's like, every day it's like, okay, well, I'll get up at 4, I'll get up at 3, I'll get up at 2. I'm just going to stay up all night because I need to pray and read my Bible. And all this stuff, it's like I come home and it's like, hey, get a canoe, the basement's flooded. So there's all these things that are vying for my attention. And I'm realizing, Lord, man, this is really difficult. Like, I need to read my Bible right now, or at least I want to, or I need to. But at the same time, I can't just continue to let the lake form in my basement. And you call the plumbers, and they came, it went away, and it's back. You call the stove guy. The stove guy came to fix the stove and said, I can't fix it. You fix it, and then I'll come back and fix it, basically. And I'm like, I can't even pay someone. So anyways, let me not go on that rabbit trail. But all of these things vie for my attention. And I realize the reason I'm now in this current state, these current times, where it becomes overwhelming, and it brings me to the point of, I'm so sick of this. And I have rage, and then all of a sudden I have to turn around and go to my wife and say, I'm really sorry. I'm acting like a complete buffoon. Not that I'm flipping out on her, but it's obvious that my attitude stinks. I'm just like, ugh, sell the house, burn it down, I don't care, I'm moving to the woods. This is driving me, So it's like, sweetheart, I'm sorry. So I'm realizing, I'm coming to these things, why am I having this reaction? It's because up until this point, my focus isn't in the future. I'm realizing that if I would keep my mind, that's another thing that has been on my mind about this, is, well, the renewing of your mind. Have you ever just thought about that phrase for a second? Well, how do I renew my mind? Like, I have an analytical way of thinking. I can't just all of a sudden be artistic. I'm analytical. I'm a numbers guy. That's how my brain operates. How do you renew your mind? Well, obviously with the Word of God and filling with those things. But I've been realizing as I'm studying this that the reason it's so easy to lose my focus on what I'm supposed to be doing is because I'm looking too nearsighted. I have to realize there's a prize at the end. So think about it this way. Let me say this first before I get to that. So in Ephesians 1:1-14, it talks about, you know, being predestinated before the foundation of the earth to be, you know, you're chosen by him before the foundation of the earth to be in good works and to do good works. And why is that? It's because God knew you were going to get saved. We had to come to that point, and we had the free will, but God knew you were going to get saved before, because God's always. He's omnipresent. So before the foundation of the earth, he had already predestinated a will for you based on the fact that you're his child. So if I keep my focus further down the road, instead of just, hey, what do I want to accomplish? And let me make this statement. I'm not talking about things going on. I mean, there's obviously things you have to deal with each day, and I never recommend someone to start thinking about the stuff you have to accomplish 6 weeks from now, because then you're overwhelmed today. I'm talking about spiritually. If I would get my focus further down the road and keep it fixed on heaven and realize everything I do today is to build for heaven. It's to glorify God now so that I can build for heaven, so that I can have rewards to lay at the Lord's feet. And if I could keep that in mind, as opposed to just, what do I have to do for God today? Because sometimes there's so much going on in my day. I'm just doing it, you know, I'm reading my Bible, I'm praying, I'm doing these things, but there's so much stuff going on. And there's some days I go by and I think, did I accomplish anything for God? I mean, I know I didn't do anything wrong, per se, but I also don't feel like I did anything worthwhile. And sometimes that discourages me. But I realize that not every day you're going to do, you know, something huge for God, and it's a process. But so anyways, how do I live in the future? First off, cling to the predestination of God's will. See, our nature fights us on clinging to the future. Clinging to heaven, it fights us because it's trying to concentrate all the things that are in our way now. But his future will for us was already planned in the past. Does that make sense? I know this is kind of, hopefully I'm not just like driving people's minds upside down, because when I was studying this out, I felt like I was on a merry-go-round. But I started realizing that if I would trust in his predestinated will, I could wait on the Lord and allow him to bring it to me. We have to bring ourselves to faith, to have faith in God's finished work. You know, I had faith in what Christ did on the cross to be saved. I put my faith in Jesus Christ and him alone and the shed blood on the cross. But now how do I keep my faith to walk with him? Because he has me here for a purpose. So if I can keep myself, bring myself to have faith in God's finished work, you know, we came to salvation because of faith in Christ's finished work on the cross. Now let's put our faith in God's pre-planned future for us. That makes sense? Or does that just sound crazy? So he's already planned it. So I've heard someone say this before, you've probably heard it. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has occurred to God? Do we believe God is omnipresent? That he truly is past, present, and future? Well, if we do, then we can only conclude our lives have already occurred to God. And that is how he could make a plan for the future in the past. So, I'm going to read from Isaiah chapter 40. It's probably a verse some of you probably know by heart. chapter 40, in Isaiah, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Now, I need the strength to get through these days. All this stuff that's overwhelming me. And if I'm being honest, I'm not going to act like I got it all under control. I've been overwhelmed at times recently. Well, it says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And I'm thinking, I'm just going to wait on the Lord. How does waiting renew your strength? Well, think of it this way. You want to know why you go to an amusement park and you'll wait in a line that takes you 45 minutes to ride a ride that's going to take you 3.5 minutes? It's because you're waiting with the expectation of what you're getting, what the prize is, per se. Right? So, because you're thinking about, this roller coaster is fun. So it's worth what you're going to wait on it. It's worth it. So, I lost my spot here. Where am I? Okay, so wait upon the Lord, right? Oh, you know what? Let me look. I want to read. I know I'm getting all gadgety here, but I knew I was going to run out of room here. I want to read this for you. Bear with me. I promise I'm not going all modern age. Because I can barely operate these things. All right, where are we at? Where are we at? All right. Wait. So, looking up this definition of wait, and whether it be in English, whether you look at how the root words were to see how they were translated to English. It's to bind together. It's a collective to gather. You wait upon. You're looking for. You're waiting for. It's not just a matter of, you are waiting with an expectation. That's what this is talking about. That's why your strength is being renewed, because you're waiting for the expectation of what the Lord has for you. But that goes against our nature to wait. Our nature is, I've got to do something. A lot of times I get discouraged because I feel like I didn't do something massive in my day for the Lord. In all reality, the Lord, I'm supposed to be waiting, and the Lord's bringing me something. Sometimes you need to be in that waiting room of life, sort of, because that's where you're growing. That's where you're learning. What better time? Think about it. You ever been in a waiting room with someone while you're waiting? You're sitting there, maybe with your husband, your wife, you're in a waiting room. I mean, is that not the best opportunity to talk? I mean, you have such long, there's nothing else to do. You're going to know each other. I mean, that waiting time is so important. Even, you know, there's nothing wrong with the rest. You know, the Lord rested after he created the earth. There's a time of waiting. So, you're waiting on the Lord. Trying to keep your focus down the line, not so nearsighted. So, understand something. The work is finished. The Lord said it on the cross. It is finished. All right? So what was finished? The work that needed to be done for you to be able to come to Christ. Because without the shed blood, without that sacrifice, there's no way that we'd be worthy to heaven. So it was finished. So understand something. Once we get saved, the work now is in God's hands. Okay? Christ did all the work to allow us to get to God, and now God will perform his work or his will in you. So Philippians, whoop, I lost the page here. Philippians 1:6. I'm going to turn there quick and read it for you. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Well, who's performing it? God is performing that good work in you. A lot of times what happens is I'm trying to always do for God. Now, obviously, get what I'm saying. When God brings that light to you and reveals that mystery of his will to you, you are going to do something. But there's so many times that I'm trying to do for the Lord, and it might not even be what God wants me to do. Because God begun the good work in me. It's not me. It's not me that's supposed to be doing the good work. It's God performing the good work. That's why we wait upon the Lord. We're waiting on the Lord to reveal it. So, definition of confident. Let me read it for you. Being confident of this very thing. All right? Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform until the day of Jesus Christ. Confident. Having full belief, trusting, relying, fully assured, confident. Well, what does that describe? Faith. You're fully assured. This confidence, you have this faith that God is going to work this will in you. Well, what is faith? What does Hebrews 11:1 say faith is? Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So you're hoping. But when you look up the definition of hope also, it's not like a wish. There's a big difference between, oh, I'm hoping for this. Oh, I hope I get this for Christmas. Or I hope I get this for my birthday. I hope I get whatever it is. That's really a wish. You have no, hoping is you actually, it's just like we were talking about waiting upon the Lord. You have this expectation of what is to come. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's a future thing. The reason you have faith is because you're heading towards Christ. You're heading towards heaven. Yes, your faith is built from the salvation and the Holy Spirit in you. But the reason you can keep moving forward is because we have a mark to press towards. A lot of times I set my mark at the end of today, spiritually. And if I would start setting my mark on heaven and realize how that would affect my today, that makes sense. So, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's a future thing, future which God has already taken care of, right? God has already predestinated us with these good wills. He has a perfect will for our lives. He wants us to walk a certain way because he knew we were going to get saved. He already started planning things that he wants to do with us. Now, granted, we get in the way of that, and we screw that up for him. But if we would just walk with him, he would perform that will. That's why I believe it's so important to wait on the Lord, because you're supposed to wait for him to bring his will to you. And what I think I do sometimes is try to bring myself to his will. If that makes sense? Does that make sense, or is that just confusing? So, our only enemy, really, in it, or at least for me, is our free will. The reason I keep failing at things is because I keep trying at things, if that makes any sense. I have to let go and let God. I know that's a cliche thing in Christianity. Oh, let go and let God. But there is truth to that. Obviously, once God reveals that light to you and reveals the mystery of his will to you, he is then expecting you to do something. The problem is, I sometimes think that I have to do something to be in his will, as opposed to waiting on it being revealed and then doing his will. Does that make sense? So, I bring all this back to here, and I thought, okay, so if I need to do that, I need to press here, and sometimes I get ahead of myself, and I'm trying to run to his will, and instead of allowing God work in my life and bring his will to me, and then stepping forward as he reveals it to me, instead of me assuming what I have to do with my day, I know I have to read the Bible, and I need to be praying and being in church and doing these things, but sometimes I try to run to his will instead of letting his will be revealed to me. So then I thought to myself, what do you do in the meantime? If you're anything like me, I hate waiting. I'm a go-getter. I like to get stuff done. Let's get it done. That's how I am. So how do I wait? Well, I started thinking, how do I stop messing up? How do I stop getting all, while I'm waiting, letting all these things distract me and take my vision off of what the ultimate prize is that I'm pressing towards? And somehow I came along to Mark chapter 12. I thought, well, what do I do in the meantime? While I'm waiting, what do I do in the meantime? I'm in the wrong book. It's Matthew 12. Mark 12, verse 30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. You realize that God sums up all of the commandments. All we have to do is love God and love people. Why is that all you have to do? Love God, love people. Obviously, the love God part, I think, obviously. Well, I realized that instead of trying to do things or accomplish things, if I would just spend my days falling in love with God, then our actions and our day-to-day will naturally be as God planned. Instead of trying to figure out what I have to do, realize what I have to do is love God. If I just love God, fall in love with God, God will then bring that will to me. Instead of me trying to run to what I think God's will is and saying, well, that's a good thing I did. It's obviously God's will. I'm walking with God. I did this good thing. And God's like, well, that's great. That's not what I was trying to get you to do today, but thanks. So you can do good things and be out of God's will. So these two verses show you so much about love. They show you to love God, but they show you also to love like God. The reason these commandments are summed up, you'd think it could just end at love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. The reason he says love thy neighbor as thyself is because God loves us in a way we can never love God back. God loves us when we're unlovely. God sent his son to die for us knowing that this message is going to come to my heart because I'm an idiot and had a bad attitude. And somehow came brought along this. He knows the things that we're going to wrong with. He knew the type of people we were. He knew we were going to be sinners. He knew that we were going to, you know, he knew what was going to happen to his son. He loved the unlovely. Well, we can't love God that way because God is all lovely. He's perfect. What's not to love about God? So how do we get to love like God? By loving each other. Because guess what? I'm super unlovely at times. I know my heart. I know who I've been for going on 39 years. There's a lot of stuff deep down inside that nobody here knows about that I know and God knows. When you love me, you're loving someone unlovely. And the same goes for all of us. That's how we can love like God. That's how we can prove that we love God with all our heart, because we are showing the same grace to others and the love that he showed to us. So, going back to Matthew, where we read the scripture verses here in verse 26, or chapter 26, rather, and we see all this stuff. The reason I read this is because you see all these things that are going on here. And if you go back even to verse 21, you see, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Verse 33, but after I am risen again, I will go before you and get, or that's not what I'm looking for. Where am I looking for? Peter answered, you know, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. If you read this passage that we read from 36 through 46, you see, I'm going to be betrayed. He starts praying, Lord, take this cup from me. And it's, well, Lord, let your will be done. Jesus knew what was going to happen. He knew ultimately they were about to come crucify him. Can you imagine if you knew you were about to be crucified, what's going through your mind? Think about all the stuff that goes on in these passages. He's about to go through this suffering, and he's saying, Lord, take this cup from me. Jesus, he was a human. I know he was God. Sometimes it's easy to say, well, he was God. You know, of course he could get through it. He's God. He was all man. He was suffering and knew what was coming and went through that pain, hanging there on the cross with his body. I mean, the pain that goes through that, the suffering that goes through it. You realize that the ultimate ending of crucifixion is death. But do you understand? I mean, shoot me in the head. Do you understand? Your body is just breaking down until it can't take it anymore. It slowly dies. You suffer till your body is just got nothing left, and then you die. He knew this was about to come. You see over in chapter 27, verse 46, in about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He's asking, why did you forsake me, God? You ever have those moments where you're like, why are you forsaking me, God? Think about all the stuff that's coming on here. Verse 50, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. You see all the progression of stuff that Jesus went through here. And things that could have taken his focus into what's going on. Realize who's betraying him. A disciple. Someone he chose. Someone that he washed the feet of. Even when he betrayed him, didn't he? He called him brother, I believe, didn't he? Or friend. He called him friend. You know, he knew he was going to get betrayed. He knew Peter. Judas, we know his ultimate, where he was headed. But then Peter, someone that, although had failures, loved the Lord. He was in the in group. You know, those three people that were closest to Jesus of his disciples, deny me. Then he knows, oh, someone's going to come betray me. This crowd's going to come get me. I'm going to be crucified. He knows he's going to get crucified. He gets to the point where he's suffering so badly, he thinks his Father in heaven has forsaken him. And ultimately, he yields up the ghost. Think about all the stuff that's going on here. I have enough talking about getting through a day. Think about what Jesus went through in whatever this span of time was. This is a section of his day. And if you read leading up to this, I mean, this is quite the day for Jesus. And I'm saying all the bringing back to this because I kept saying, I have these failures. I let these things get in my way. I let these things distract me and take my eye off it. Do you want to know why I believe that Jesus could keep going forward, even though it progressively he gets, oh, Lord, take this from me. Lord, please take this from me. But let your will. You could tell he knew what was coming and he didn't want it to happen, but allowed it to happen. And you want to know why? I believe it's because Jesus knew he was going to rise again. The ultimate prize. The same thing as us. What are we looking for? You know what's going to happen? We're going to rise again. All the stuff that's going on, we're going to rise again. One day, whether we're raptured out of here or we're dead in the ground, we're going to be up in the air. We're going to rise again as well. And I know this was kind of a head-spinning thing, and I apologize if it got confusing at any point because it was confusing to me, and I was like fighting God to even preach this because I was afraid I was just going to make no sense. But the reason this came around is I kept thinking, why is it that these things, I get at these same end things, or why do I keep doing the same sin, or why whatever it is, and I look at what Jesus went through, and I said, oh, how did he do that? And I believe it is because Jesus Christ looked towards that future. He was living in the future presently. Every day that he talked about, when they say to him, oh, I'm about my Father's business, about my Father's business, and he knew that his Father's business was ultimately for him to be crucified, but he knew he would rise again. So he was, you know, that's why I said, if there was a title to this message, he was presently living in the future. And that's why I think he could just, no matter what was dealt his way, You're always just like, man, I don't want this. I mean, he was aware of what was happening. He was aware of what the fate for him was going to be. I don't say fate, but he was aware ultimately where this was heading, and he didn't want it. He was a person. He had feelings. Jesus wept. We see that. But the reason he could just keep moving forward is because he knew ultimately what the future held. And I believe, and like I said, this message is for me. Because there are days, don't get me wrong, I have good days. I'm not saying I'm just slumming through it here, but there are certain days where discouragement sets in, my focus gets off, I get overwhelmed, there's so much to do, my work schedule's crazy. I come home, my wife is downstairs in a canoe, you know, all this stuff's going on. And it's because I'm allowing those times to cloud the vision of what I should be focused on. And I'm getting my vision here when I ought to be looking towards the prize that I'm supposed to be pushing towards. So my challenge here is basically, and hopefully this made sense, I'm praying that if it's making your head spin like it made my head spin, that you can take this back and study it further, and that the Lord will use this as a catapult to get you thinking and help you over to challenges. But if we would take this principle of living for the future or in the future, I believe it would help you, it would definitely help me get through day by day and realize that it's spiritually, it's not just about today. Some days God's going to do something big with you. Some days you're going to wait on the Lord. Some days you're going to do these things. If you keep your eyes on that day when you get to be with the Lord, it's not going to allow you to come to the point where you're upset or distracted or discouraged about what's going on in today, if that makes any sense. But I'm going to stop there because I do want to get prayer requests in. Hopefully this made sense. Like I said, this is even the outline. Normally when the Lord gives me a message, I have like some outline because he knows my mind is mush and I need it. I really didn't want to preach this, but I knew that the Lord wanted me to. I hope that this gives you something to think about. If you're like me and you have days where it's that day is just tough to get through, or for whatever reason it is, whether it's because there's a besetting sin or a bad attitude or just losing focus, I challenge you to just remember to live for the future and not just for today, spiritually speaking. But we're going to go ahead and pray, and then we'll take some prayer requests. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for church, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you can take these crazy thoughts that have been going through my head that you've been working on me, Lord, through your word. I pray you take it and just make it concise in everybody's mind here tonight and understand what it is that you were trying to show me. I hope it's an encouragement, Lord, and that it's a help, Lord. And if it's not a help for anybody, I just pray that people would pray for me, because I know it was a help for me. I needed it. This message was really just for me, to be honest. It was you working on my heart and showing me some things, because there are days that I allow myself to get distracted or overwhelmed. And those days typically end in somewhere in my heart where I don't feel great about myself, whether it be discouragement or a bad attitude or whatever it is. Lord, and I thank you for showing me these verses, and I pray that you'd help me and help everyone here to keep our focus down the line further, spiritually speaking. Keep our eyes on the prize ahead. Keep our eyes on our future of seeing Jesus Christ and seeing that each day today is about laying up things to lay at your feet then. And no matter what's going on here in our day, no matter how overwhelming it be, no matter what's crashing down around us, and no matter what we're going through, this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. So whether it's a lake in the basement or a stubbed toe, whatever it's ailing us, help us to realize that it's only for a moment. And one day we're going to be home with you, just praising your name and not having to deal with any heartache, not any suffering, not any pain anymore. Lord, help us to live for that cause and to build up rewards in heaven. Lord, again, I just ask that you take this message, Lord, and please just make it make sense to each of us. Lord, I know it was a whirlwind of stuff tonight, Lord. And I just pray that the Holy Spirit would take all that, Lord, and use it to help us, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for church. Lord, we pray for those that are out, Lord, especially those that are still dealing with sicknesses. Lord, I pray you'd heal them up. Lord, I pray you would just bless this time of prayer requests and prayer. Lord, and that you just keep everyone safe as we travel home. Lord, we thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen.